Good evening, Tara Servatius here live with Bobby Mack and Vince anchoring election coverage. Yes.
It has been an exciting day so far, and I suspect this evening will be even more so.
I don't know. Exciting is not the way I would describe it. I vacillated between jitters, complete total depression, stark raving mad
really?
Fear. Yes. And a sense of peace and calm.
Yeah, you know, I said yesterday, I had a lot of people asking, you know, what was my prognostication? And I said, all the pundits in the world are out there, and everybody has their own opinions. You know, they're like rear ends. Everybody has one. But I just couldn't escape the feeling that there's going to be a really energized GOP base in this, and that we'll squeak by in the House and pick up 4 to 5 seats in the Senate. So we'll see how it plays out. But I think the overwhelming turnout we've seen here in the upstate, and apparently is being replicated in other parts of the country as well, bodes well for the GOP. That's just my guess.
Of some sort of blue wave. I think one thing we can rule out at the beginning of this broadcast, absolutely for sure, we're not expecting a blue wave in South Carolina.
No. Well, James Smith may have been expecting one, but it didn't transpire for him. Henry McMaster already being declared by Fox News as the winner of the governor. This is for Governor Henry McMaster. This is the culmination of a lifelong dream. Henry McMaster has been wanting to be governor of South Carolina. Almost, and I think grade school was where it actually began.
And, grade school.
And now, of course, you know, it's a dream come true. But, you know, the one thing that Henry McMaster has going for him is one of the most important things, and not the most important thing anybody can have in these current election cycles. He's got Donald Trump on his side.
Yeah, and that's a pretty valuable commodity. Apparently, it'll help you a lot. Well, I just want you to know, Bobby Mack, that you know, no matter who won the governorship, you will always be my governor. I voted for you, wrote your name in, and I am crushed to hear the news this evening.
I'm flattered and honored, but once again, I resort to my default position: if nominated, I will not run, and if elected, I will not serve. So, and besides that, you know, I'm still hopeful that the soil and water commissioner job is going to open up for me. And if that should happen, of course, then I have a different career path than living in the governor's mansion. I have to do a little logistic work here. So Tara and Lee, you guys take it for a moment. We have the studio configured for my show, which has a big table. That
Bobby Mack literally has a runway for his show prep. I've never seen anything quite like it.
It's a news buffet.
It's a news buffet. And you know what? I demand you were not here the day that, you know, they're building a new, like, you know, floating island thing here, right?
Yeah.
I demanded that they build the runway into the island.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. You should have seen the guy's face. He's looking at me like, this is a high maintenance woman, isn't it? I'm like, no, you cannot do your show. I mean, you know, they were gonna put us in a space. I kid you not, Bobby Mack, you can picture this, maybe 2x2 for our show prep.
Oh, no.
You cannot do a high-quality show like we do every day on this station, all three of us, with that kind of space.
Unequivocally.
It's impossible. Yeah, you need a runway. You need virtually a ramp. Bob has a long table tacked on to this other table, and it sort of wraps around, and that's where his show prep goes.
It's my T-bone of show prep.
So. It is. Oh, and they were going to put me in your seat. I said to them, Bobby Mack will go insane.
Yeah.
He will lose his frigging mind.
Bobby Mack seat.
He will walk out in the middle of the show
with
his hair on fire because, you know, you have your show prep in your piles. They cannot move or be touched. They're in a certain order. And if I come in, I'm going to have to lay mine out and it's going to get all into yours.
Oh, no.
And you will lose your mind.
No, this is not going to
work. No, he will. And I won't blame him. I'll be the same way. You cannot commingle show prep. And I had to get the engineers to understand this. So I just want you to know.
No commingling.
I fought the brave battle on behalf of you.
I knew that I made an excellent decision in the job qualification process, selection process.
So you did.
I did, you know, because you're looking out for my interest, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, so I got them to build us two separate broadcasting stations.
Neat.
Complete with a runway and ramp for you.
Nice. And yes. And this will begin when?
When construction begins. You should have seen the guy's face, though. He's looking at me like, I get this is a high-maintenance woman. I can tell she drives everyone crazy. I mean, no, you haven't tried to do this live in real time.
Exactly.
It's not easy. And I knew if you were there, you would back me up.
Well, it's like, you remember that kid, the 17-year-old kid in Florida a while back, and went and broke into the aircraft, like a Boeing 727, who was going to take it off and fly it. Because they thought, well, I see planes flying all the time. It looks easy enough.
Sure, right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you try 4 hours of this each day, pal, and let's see how you do.
Exactly.
All right, I'm going to excuse myself for a moment and rearrange my show prep table here. So we can another member of our team.
This is going to be an event.
The logistics of this are real easy. Here, watch.
One man and a truck moving furniture. That's Bobby Mack.
In a radio studio. Yeah, meanwhile, okay, this is just one exit poll, okay, folks? Sound effects. That show prep could hit the floor. He will never get that straightened out again. That's like 500 pages of stuff. You should be careful there because you could strain yourself there. Okay.
Not to worry.
I think that's
under control.
I think that's an OSHA violation.
He's got a chiropractor live read coming up tomorrow, doesn't he?
Oh my gosh, the management's going to freak. We're supposed to be doing serious coverage of, what was it again, the midterms?
Yes, the midterms.
Yeah, the midterms.
By the way, Governor McMaster has already been declared the winner by Fox News.
Yeah. Did you hear me earlier, Lee? Bobby Mack will always be my governor.
Yes.
I voted for him. Yes. And I cannot vote for a man who will not show up and come on my show.
Yeah.
I can't do that. So, I didn't in any of the races where that is the case. So, on a serious note, Trafalgar Group, botch that, is releasing some data from Florida right now. Of course, all the votes are not in Florida because there's still lines in the panhandle, as there always are. But an interesting thing has happened there. Black vote for the GOP doubles, more than doubles 2016.
Wow.
Yes. It's up 6 percentage points from 2016. Looks like DeSantis and Scott, those are Republicans, running for governor and Senate respectively, are winning, get this, 14% of the black vote right now. Those are massive numbers.
That's pretty significant.
Great numbers.
Yes, those are great, great, great numbers. And we'll see if that holds up across the country, but if it does, that just really bodes well for Republicans.
I'm sorry, I missed that number. What was it again?
DeSantis, who is the Republican running for governor, and Scott, who is the Republican running for Senate, are winning right now 14% of the black vote in Trafalgar exit polling.
Ooh, that is good.
In Florida, yes, that's excellent.
Well, by the way, when you consider that Donald Trump has a 40% approval rating among black Americans, in a way, it's not that surprising.
Well, when half of Americans are male, or at least they identify that way, we believe, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay, half. I mean, at some point, this has got to have an effect. When you have a political party that tells men, go away, you're the patriarchy, you suck.
Right.
I mean, black people aren't just black people. Mm-hmm. They're men, mm-hmm. they're women, they're fathers, they're mothers, they're sisters, they're brothers. And the Democrat Party likes to boil minorities down to some simple, simple skin color.
Right.
I'm sorry, but you tell men to go away and there's something wrong with you long enough, half of black people are men.
Yeah.
Like right now, 5 years, who knows, right? With the way this country is going.
Welcome to the deplorables.
Yes, I mean, it could be, but again, and this, I just wonder about the long term, the cumulative effect of telling men to shove it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, let's see if the American people tell the Democrats to shove it tonight. We'll take a quick break here. Take a quick break here, and when we come back, the fourth member of our team here in the studio joins me. That's my pal, Professor Dave Woodard. Is it okay to still call you Professor?
You can still call me Professor.
Professor
you can
Emeritus.
Always call me Professor.
Yeah, because I'm Operations Manager Emeritus, and so now you're Professor Emeritus. We'll be right back here on our election night coverage here on WORD. Welcome back. This is the midterm election night. If there's one takeaway that we have already from today, and it is, it falls into the category of anecdotal evidence, but that is the turnout. The turnout that I have seen expressed in the text messages, in the callers we had in my program this afternoon, throughout the course of the day, have been quotes like "never seen lines like this," "huge turnout," and other things that again. Accentuated the fact that This is borne very little resemblance to your typical midterm. Professor Dave Woodard, retired from Clemson University, a political science air professor for decades. Your take on this, Dave, what do you think, if anything, this signifies?
Probably the main reason people go vote is socioeconomic status, higher income, higher education.
It's the economy, stupid?
I think it helps Republicans.
Yeah.
High turnout helps Republicans in an off year. And Democratic voters are a little lower educated and less likely to vote. So I think this augurs well for the Republicans.
You know what's interesting, though, Dave Woodard, the president said something very interesting. He's very obviously astute reader of people. And he talked about why he was talking a little more about immigration than the economy. And it was a fascinating quote. He said, well, when I talk about the economy, people look bored. So I go back to immigration. Mm-hmm. I went,
That's right. The economy can hurt you. It oftentimes doesn't help you. You'd be surprised. But something like emotion comes through in an immigration issue.
Yes, it does.
And it really connected. I think it connected well.
You know, it's interesting because I was thinking about this before you came in, and the motivations for the Democrats, for the progressives, for the socialists / Marxists that have taken over the Democrat Party, the motivation for them essentially is hatred.
Yeah.
They hate Donald Trump and everything that he stands for. The motivation on the opposite end of the equation for the Republicans, in large measure, I think, is fear. And by that, I don't mean necessarily fear in a negative sense, the way we typically think of it. I mean fear of what we see south of the border, fear of the kind of intimidation tactics that we saw in the Kavanaugh hearing, the fear that the Nancy Pelosi's and Chuck Schumer's and the other tyrants in the Democrat Party would take back over and undo everything that President Trump has done for the last 2 years. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And Bobby Mack, do you see some of those pictures of people in the hallways, tape over their mouths and everything up in Congress?
Right.
That is an intimidating thing. That's anarchy.
Yes, it is.
That's not democracy. And I, watching Lindsey Graham walk back and forth to his office and other people in the hallways where they had to be restrained because they were...
They were being assaulted.
Yeah, just being assaulted. They couldn't get in is offensive to the American people.
I think so, too.
Watching people claw at the doors
of the Supreme Court
as if they are in an episode of The Walking Dead.
Right.
I'm not joking. That literally, it was slow, creepy, demonic, and you know, almost maybe like I don't know, like zombie-like. I mean, it was freakish and scary and weird. And
I've never seen anything.
I haven't either.
Me either.
Professor, I'm curious about something in regard to one of the figures we've already gotten tonight. 63% of the people voting today, this is a figure we've gotten from Fox News just a few minutes ago, indicated that Donald Trump was a factor in their vote. So I'm kind of curious how, this is kind of dangerous to put you on the spot with this, how do you think this ultimately breaks down in terms of the people being motivated because they want to support Donald Trump? Or how much of it is people are out there in protest of Donald Trump?
Right.
Well, it's hard to say. We'll find that answer to your question tonight. But I think one thing you have to say is oftentimes a president will not get out and campaign at the midterms. And that was not the case with Trump. He was fully engaged and has been for a month or so.
He was peripatetic. He was everywhere. Yeah. He was the Energizer Bunny.
He was.
I'm like 6 months younger than Donald Trump is. And I watched this performance and I thought, man, I don't know, you know, what he's drinking, but get me a case of it.
Because, I'm kind of worried about him. He did three rallies in one day on Monday. I hope he can keep his pace up.
He is all over the place. And I can't, well, I guess maybe Harry Truman, you know, on the railroad train years ago.
Yeah, that was big. I'll tell you what, the Republicans have only improved their margins in the House and the Senate once, and it was in 2002 with George W. Bush after 9/11.
Right.
But he did the same thing. He promised to go out and raise $200 million. He traveled. He went everywhere. They called him, you know, the president who wouldn't stop.
Right.
And it made a lot of difference. I think this is going to make a difference. I think the money raising is something that's not mentioned when you just see the rallies, but he raises lots of money for candidates when he goes places.
He shattered Obama's individual donation record, and Obama set the record for individual donations. That was very much a grassroots-funded campaign. In addition
and
to
Trump
big money,
did it without money from the Middle East.
Which is amazing. I know. No, but I don't want to make this just a personality thing because there's a CNN poll that I think nails this, and it goes back to what the professor was saying just a minute ago, Professor Woodard. CNN poll released on Monday found that immigration is more important to Republican voters. 64% said it was extremely important to their vote than the economy at 60%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not just Trump the person. It's the issues he's raising that are causing a unique sense of urgency.
Yeah, they're all,
I don't
they're
think
all
you can separate the
issues.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're ones where he can win because he can turn to the tax cut bill and say, look, I put money back in your pocket.
Yeah.
He can turn to the immigration bill and say, look, the wall is already being built in Southern California. And if you give me the tools to be able to continue to do it, we'll have the entire thing.
And those pictures at the border are frightening.
Yes, they are.
Just the pictures. And they keep running them over and over. And a lot of people, they don't have to have an interpretation by a commentator.
Right.
They can see exactly what's going
on. Yeah, picture is worth a thousand words in this instance.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm also curious about, Professor, is have we seen in the past president not just going out and campaigning during midterms, but some of the locations that he went to? I mean, yesterday evening, here he is in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. A few weeks ago, he was in my former hometown of Richmond, Kentucky, and he was there to campaign for Andy Barr, who is a member of Congress there. Speak to this in terms of going to those smaller towns and still drawing these big crowds.
Well, he draws big crowds. Another thing is he contacts with the local media. And when the president is gone, the local media still plays over and over that they've had him there and he's visited with him and he makes himself available to him. And that's a leave behind after he goes someplace else. He's just a very unusual politician. I mean, like him or hate him, and I know in academia I'm at a place where people don't like him.
Right.
But you have to admire his energy and his effectiveness and his gut level to grab issues that other people didn't. I mean, I'm thinking of the immigration issue 2 years ago, for instance.
Right.
He has some sort of radar that other people don't have. And there's one thing about politicians you can always say. You put them in front of a crowd and they come alive.
Yeah.
I mean, they can be dead, tired, or sick.
Yeah.
They'll get out of bed and go up there.
Boy, isn't that the truth. And you can just see Donald Trump energized.
Yeah, he is.
When he gets in front of those crowds.
Right.
It's truly amazing. We're going to be talking about some of the other races across the country as well. But, of course, through the early part of the evening here, as you know, as we've mentioned at the beginning of the program, the Fox News team has already called the GOP gubernatorial race for Henry McMaster with 53.5% of the vote and James Smith with 46% of the vote. But we'll also be following the other statewide races, including a couple that we have talked about earlier amongst ourselves. One that we want to keep track of is down at the lower end of the state in District 1, where Katie Arrington deposed of the Appalachian Trail hiker Mark Sanford in the primaries this year. That's going to be an interesting race to watch because she was, of course, severely injured in an automobile accident.
Right.
But again, sort of like Trump, I mean, she was over at Jeff Duncan's event and had a cast on up to her hip where she was still recuperating from the car wreck, and she's out on the road campaigning.
Right. She gets fired up. The only time to get somebody is when a seat is open like that if you're in the opposite party, and so they usually campaign really hard. But the problem is she's been the Energizer Bunny herself. She's come back off that bed fighting mad, got a lot of people supporting her. I think she'll be I think she'll win this race, and I think she'll be a great congresswoman.
Yeah, I think she will as well. As I mentioned, I had an opportunity to sit down with her at Jeff Duncan's event at his Faith and Freedom Barbecue, and she was really impressive. She strikes me as being the real deal.
She is. I think she really is. So many times in this, we don't get the real deal.
Yeah, how
glad
true.
To get one
and
every once
how
in a while.
This is a woman, listen, I didn't even know this because she's never used it. She beat breast cancer.
Yeah.
And never used it, and mentioned it tangentially at one point, could have used it as part of her campaign, didn't. And apparently the Democratic opponent's campaign started spreading rumors that she had made the cancer up.
Oh, geez.
And so this anecdote, it was just an amazing anecdote about her. She had a mainstream media reporter come up to her and basically accuse her of making up the breast cancer. And she said, let's go in the bathroom. I'll show you.
Oh, good night.
You know, I mean, that's the kind of gumption she's got. I can't wait to see what she does in Congress.
It's a comeback that's hard to beat. We'll be right back on the other side of the news.
Good evening. Anchoring this live coverage of the midterms, both here in South Carolina and across the country, joining us now live from Senator Claire McCaskill's campaign headquarters in Missouri is Jeff Manasso. Good morning. Good evening.
Hey,
good evening.
Good,
I'm sorry, I'm on
good
no morning
evening,
show.
Good, whatever. By this
yes,
time, by this time in a couple of hours, we're not sure gonna know what's what.
But yeah, no kidding.
Claire McCaskill's headquarters in St. Louis.
So is she just another crazy Democrat, Jeff?
Well, if you talk to Josh Hawley, he might tell you that in terms of you know where she's at on taxes, you know where she's at on some key things, the Kavanaugh vote, and other things. Even though she has tried to sell herself of late within the last several months in this massive contentious battle as a moderate Democrat, will voters here buy it? I mean, look, it's a red state. President Trump won it in 2016 by almost 20 points. She's got some blue territories, the St. Louis area, Kansas City, the Columbia area in north central mm-hmm. Missouri that are Democratic strongholds. But if you look at the map of Missouri, it's bright red. So will this be enough for her? We know that turnout early. Well, see, the state here doesn't do early voter turnout, but what they do is they do early absentee ballots. So essentially, it's the right. same thing. They do early absentee in-person ballots. St. Louis County alone, about 41,000 early absentee ballots. The last midterm election that we had, it was probably about 2,500.
Wow.
So if that's an indicator of the turnout statewide, I mean, it's really anybody's guess on where we're going to be at tonight. The doors open to guests in less than an hour, probably about 25 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of pep in people's steps here at Claire McCaskill headquarters. Perhaps when the booze starts flowing, that might change things.
It has a tendency to, doesn't it? Yeah.
But I did talk to a contact at the Josh Hawley campaign headquarters tonight in Springfield, and they're feeling optimistic there. We don't know how this thing's going to turn out. We just know that it's been a contentious battle, that he narrowed the lead. It became a razor-thin margin and basically now a tie. And then a lot of that happened during the Kavanaugh vote. So what happens here, we'll all soon find out together. But it's a do-or-die thing for Claire McCaskill, two-term incumbent. This was going to be her last election, no matter what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a seat that Democrats really invested heavily on. They wanted to keep it.
Interesting, Jeff. Cape Girardeau is about as far removed from Kansas City and St. Louis as Paris, France is from Paris, Arkansas. But the appearance there last night by Rush and Sean Hannity and the president, is that a last minute factor here in this race?
Well, you know, the president's been here to Missouri seven times and two times within the last couple of two times here in Missouri, stumping for Josh Hawley. That shows you just how important this race is to him.
Yeah.
In terms of the balance of control with the Senate. And it is all hands on deck. We've seen the president. He's got lots of energy, going from city to city, twice in Indiana, twice in Ohio, twice here in Missouri in the last couple of days. And, you know, these rallies, we were told in 2016, it didn't indicate what voters were going to do when they turned out,
if
they were going to vote.
Yeah.
And you know, as somebody who followed these candidates, I can tell you that it did feel like something was happening mm-hmm. because you had this large, massive crowd. And I'm telling you, they're not just white old guys.
Right.
It's a mix of race, religion, you know, creeds, colors, all that. You throw it all in there. And people are excited about seeing the president in what he has to say. So to me, pollsters don't mean much anymore. There's going to be a postmortem tomorrow on exactly who got it right, who got it wrong. It's all going to be about turnout. And here in Missouri, this is a tough race between both Josh Hawley and Senator Claire McCaskill. We're all going to find out together how this shakes out.
So I'm kind of wondering about Holly. I just kind of seen him at the Trump rally. He doesn't seem to be, how shall I put this, the most
charismatic?
Gifted of, yes, stump speakers. Has that affected this race at all or no?
You mean like he didn't channel his inner Beto O'Rourke?
No, like he didn't have a skateboard. He well didn't want, run from the cops when he was drunk and driving. I mean, things like that. Right. Yes, yeah. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no. I don't. I think people are looking at issues. Maybe not necessarily style, but he's got a record as the state's attorney general, and he was tough. He's been in lockstep with President Trump on immigration, mm-hmm. The caravan, Brett Kavanaugh, taxes, jobs, the economy, which is booming. You want a job in this country, there's one waiting for you. That's undeniable. And I think that, you know, being in lockstep with the president certainly would probably help him amid the base here in Missouri, because this is a red state. 56% of likely voters think that President Trump is doing a good job. So he had that going for him, I think, and he's been tough on Claire McCaskill. And yeah. You know, but again, is it enough to get him across that finish line? We'll see. We'll see if there's big voter turnout in the blue areas of this state, and ultimately, what does that mean for the balance of power?
It's funny,
Republicans
Jeff.
Republicans keep.
And we're talking to Jeff Manasso, Fox News. He's at Senator Claire McCaskill's campaign headquarters.
It's interesting, Jeff, that you mentioned the president and the influence of. The coattails that he may have, because Henry McMaster has already been declared by Fox News as the winner of the gubernatorial race here in South Carolina. And he is viewed in kind of lukewarm fashion in some quarters as well. But I mentioned earlier in the program, the one thing that he has going for him is Donald Trump has endorsed him and has done campaign ads for him. He has the biggest player in the game right now on his side, and that apparently is Donald Trump.
Well, you know, when President Trump was sworn in and took the oath of office, there were a lot of unknowns to all of us. You know, how is he going to be as a president? Mm-hmm. And, you know, politics aside, we've seen the economy. We've seen a hard stance and results when it comes to foreign policy, when it comes to trade. And so you're seeing some successes. And, you know, people in my business don't necessarily want to talk about it all that much, because it's good news for the president. But I think when you get outside Washington, when you get away from Hollywood, D.C. politics doesn't translate to our kitchen tables.
Right.
You know, we're more worried about getting our kids to soccer and putting food on the plate and being on time to work or finding a job. That's what real America is worried about. We're not worried about politics, and we certainly don't have the stomach to listen to the children on Capitol Hill bickering on a daily basis. And that's just the truth.
Yeah.
But so when you get down to it, you start to see some of the successes that the president has made, you know, mixed in and balanced out with his tweeting and all that other stuff. I think that if you're a Republican, it's time to probably get on the Trump train, because it's his party now.
Yep.
Yeah. Jeff, can you tell us anything about the old unions that are in St. Louis and the way they used to turn out dead and alive people to vote? Are they energized? Are they as active and powerful as the textbooks say they are?
I don't want to speak too loudly against the St. Louis area unions, because I've heard some stories. But no, look, I mean, you had Richard Trumka today,
yes,
head of the AFL-CIO, endorsing a couple of the Republicans because they support jobs. So there's a change that's happening in the dynamics of politics.
Boy, that's a sea change.
Yeah, that is. Trumka, are you kidding
me? That's remarkable.
You
know, that's something. Right?
And I assume this is largely over the trade issue. This is what's driving so many of these labor people to move in that direction.
You know, it's over trade, it's over jobs, and we're seeing some movement on that. And when you've got the big head of the union supporting Republicans, you know, he's supporting Democrats, but he's also now supporting Republicans as well in key districts. And so that is a change that you're starting to see. And but you know, how it translates into the future of how things are going to work, I don't know. But right now, it's pretty remarkable.
What do you see for tonight where you are, Jeff? A long night, short night, somewhere in between?
You know, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if the doors are locked to the public, mm-hmm. but there's 15 minutes until this big ballroom opens up to the public. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I see 12 people here.
Wow.
And I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. So it means that people are running a little bit late. There's not a lot of parking. The booze isn't flowing yet, but I think that there's going to be probably a pretty decent turnout. But right now, it's not a good atmosphere.
Yeah, this would be a good one for President Trump to be able to put in his basket.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see. It's been a contentious battle that could decide control of the U.S. Senate.
Yep.
We saw how important that is during the Kavanaugh hearing. Just what one senator can do, and if this seat flips red, which the way things are going in Missouri, it's likely going to go that way anyway. I mean, this is a red state. Everything's kind of turned red,
right.
but there's that chance. I mean, you know, Claire McCaskill has been a moderate voice in the past, but her record of late, according to her opponent, has been anything but. And so, you know, does Missouri want to keep going down the same road it's gone with Claire McCaskill, or does it want to, you know, move more in the direction of President Trump and where things are going? You know, again, we're all going to find out here shortly. Polls close in a little while. I think it's a little over an hour here in Missouri, and the numbers will start coming in. And you know, it's really must listen to radio or must see television, because all of this effort, $5 billion worth of ads and fighting between the Republicans and the Democrats in this country. This is the second most expensive Senate race in the country, behind Florida,
right,
with $110 million put into this race, $75 million outside money.
Holy cow.
You know, how's it going to pay off? Again, we're going to find out shortly.
Great stuff. Jeff Manasso from Fox News. Jeff, thank you so much for taking time this evening to join us. This has really been illustrative of what's going on there.
Yes,
and we greatly appreciate your time.
Good stuff. Good to be with you.
Thanks,
guys.
Jeff.
Pleasure. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
I want to interject some information here that's kind of interesting. This is just coming in. Drudge has put some links on this. By the way, on the Florida governor's race, which a lot of people are going to be paying attention to,
yep,
right now Gillum is up slightly, 50%, 48% for DeSantis. But here are the numbers that I think are kind of intriguing that are coming from ABC News exit polling. 56% say the country on the wrong track. 55% disapprove of Trump performance. Here is that other figure, and this is similar to what we had earlier. Nearly two-thirds said president was a reason for their vote. And again, tonight, we're going to find out how much of this is positive support for Donald Trump and how much of this is people coming out because they want to fight him as part of the resistance,
yeah,
whatever that is.
Well, I'll tell you this. My feeling of exit polling is you give me all the exit polls and put them in a thimble, and you still have room enough in that thimble for anything else you want to put in it. Thank you, Vince. I appreciate it. We'll take a quick break here and then be right back with more on our WORD election night coverage. Welcome back. Great to have you along. This is going to be an interesting night. And as we continue, I'm wondering how much we're actually going to learn tonight about the composition of the House and the Senate going forward. I mean, setting South Carolina aside for the moment, because we've already had a decision in the governor's race. Henry McMaster's has won by, as you mentioned, Professor Woodard, by the generic ballot number, which is not exactly that encouraging for Henry looking ahead to a reelection campaign in 4 years, I guess.
I think it's a wait and see vote.
Yeah,
they realize he got the seat when Nikki left, and now that he's won it on his own, let's see what you can do. I think that's voters will be waiting to have some accomplishments from
him. Yeah, and he caught plenty of flack over the gas tax and his quick,
yeah,
move to veto that, giving the Senate plenty of time to be able to overturn him and allow the gas tax to go into place.
So,
the other races, you know, I think are pretty much foregone conclusions as well. We might see a surprise or two along the way.
I doubt if there's much in South Carolina, but, yeah. You know, there's a lot at stake, in, especially in California and
yes.
some of the and Las Vegas and some of these western states that we can't all stay up tonight to watch, but tomorrow we'll tell the tale on some
of this. Considering the number of write-in votes that are still going to remain to be counted in places like, as you mentioned, right. California and Nevada, yeah. We could be looking at days or even potentially weeks before yeah. we know some of the results of some of these races.
Right, and the reason why is they could tip the balance because
yes.
some of these House seats are going to be so close that you're going to have to wait and see. You just hope they sure have good officials who are counting the votes. That's what you worry about.
Yeah, we don't need any more hanging chads
no
or
hanging
any of
chads.
That stuff. It's fascinating to watch some of these races. I mentioned Arizona with the Sinema against McSally. And McSally, I think, you know, is a good candidate as far as it goes. I think she leans a bit Rhino, but she's certainly no Sinema. A woman who actually, in a radio broadcast, endorsed Americans who want to go and fight for the Taliban. And she's running against the first female fighter pilot in combat. Could there possibly be a larger
a bigger
dichotomy between two candidates than somebody who says, yeah, fine, go fight for the Taliban. Meantime, McSally is flying jet fighters and bombing the Taliban.
And I mean, you know, because Americans are evenly divided on their support for the Taliban. No, wait, they're not.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't
not
think
even
so.
A little. I mean, like, that was so radical. Here's the thing. The candidates this cycle on the Democrat side, and this is something that I've been pointing to as a long-term trend, they're going to have a big problem because their base is nuts. And in a primary, whether it's on the Republican or the Democrat side, you tend to get a more radical voter, right? And that's on the right and the left. That does change. But, I mean, the left is going really, I mean, toward the socialist side. We saw the beginning of this with the crazy ex-girlfriend, Ocasio-Cortez, winning.
Wow.
Right? And she, I mean, she's nuts. She defeats a Democrat incumbent who is significantly less nuts. You know, almost, you know, normal.
I wonder how many people are going to write in his name. You know,
I think he's running against him.
But in all seriousness, look at this in race after race. Gilliam is presently
under investigation. Or under investigation.
By the FBI. Right. Okay, that's crazy.
Right.
You've got, the congressional candidate who's it's been discovered is married to her brother. that one. You've got,
right.
Yeah, okay. Then you've got, Sinema, who's just nuts. I mean, women, stay-at-home moms are leeching off their husbands. What do you mean, while they raise their children?
Yeah, she actually said that, too.
She said that. I mean, and it's okay to go fight for the Taliban. I mean, crazy.
Yeah.
And this is all over the country.
That's right.
I mean, if you even look at the Democrat senator in Rick Scott's running against him. I'm blanking on his name right now. In Florida, I mean, this guy's nuts too. He actually told the mainstream media that there had been a Russian hacking of the state election boards.
Bill Nelson.
Oh, yeah. And they ran with it for like 2 days before anybody checked it. And then finally, the Sun Sentinel calls up the local election boards, you know, the state election boards, and says, hey, have you been hacked by the Russians, by anybody? They're like, no. Nobody's called us.
Yeah.
He made it up.
Oh,
I mean, these people are just, I mean, it's not even political. Well, I'm not saying they're politically crazy. I'm saying they're crazy.
And you know what Nelson reminds me of, Professor Dave? And he just laughingly said, two-term senator. In the old movie Advise and Consent that was out in the 1960s, there was a character who was an elder statesman senator. Mm-hmm. And he was always sleeping at his seat in the Senate, right? And the guy behind him would have to nudge him. And he would always wake up and say, opposed, sir. Diametrically opposed. Say, no, Senator, on this one, you're affirmative. Affirmative, sir. Yes, I vote in the affirmative.
Yeah, I wish Nelson, we had some of those guys back.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Compared to some we have now.
Nelson reminds me of that. You know, he's like, you know, whenever Chucky Schumer needs a vote, you know, he just calls up his pal Bill Nelson.
And he's always there.
Yeah, he is. He's dependable.
Well, I mean, the early return showing he's in comes from mostly urban centers where you'd expect Democrats to
probably
well
around
first.
Miami.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be might be a long night for him because Scott, I think, especially running around that Navy hat all during that hurricane,
right,
with it next to the president, I think that must have energized some people.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. But it's funny because the Redneck Riviera down there, the Florida Panhandle, around when you get away from the Tallahassees and
head over to Jacksonville.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Then you start to get into more of the real Florida. Right. And that's going to be where I think Gillum has an uphill battle. In fact, we saw that Project Veritas video the other day where the guy who's now since been fired because he talked to Project Veritas, you know, saying, well, we don't tell the voters that, you know, that, you know, this guy is as far left as you can get. Okay. Yeah. But we don't tell the voters that.
Yeah.
Well, hour number one has gone on past, and in the second hour, we expect to really start to see some returns pour in and be able to dissect some of those for you. So stay with us for hour number two of our election night coverage here on WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.